See, I do. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Angel. I'm so sorry. Di and I were laughing about something before. Please forgive
Blocky
me. Yeah, there you go. You need to ask your John, how's that working for him? That philosophy
right.
That he has. Yeah. Anyway, we're laughing and joking. Because every Sunday night, Di and I do a show on relationships. And based out of her book, You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me. And so tonight we're going to do a show and let Di tell you. Di, what are we doing the show on? That's funny because I really want to
murder
John.
We're doing
funny.
John control. Uncontrol. people who call you and say, how come he's still not calling? How come I can't make him do this? People
but
who are wanting
hurting
to control somebody else.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's
wanting to hurt mm-hmm. me, and he's just doing this to mm-hmm. hurt me. She's doing this to hurt me. Make her listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing everything you said, right? Out of the
right,
they
right.
read, the psychics they talk to, or the coaches that they talk to, and still not working, right? Well,
right, right.
I like what your honey says. He said, "What did he say? This is good."
He said, why,
now,
Di,
we have not lived with each other for a year yet. You guys have only been together, living together for about 5 or 6 months, right? So I want to
right.
be clear on that.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So
yes.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't understand why women would need to have, you know, worry about having control because they're the ones with the goods. He told me he could say the goods. They're the ones with the vagina. How about that?
Yes, exactly. That's right. You know, vagina monologues. It's all good. Sex talks, right? And we are the ones with the
That's right.
control here. So it's all good. But by the way, men, you know, we have men that, you know, who struggle with that too as well. And also we're talking
right.
about heterosexual relationships, you know, bisexual. Homosexual, there's always a controlling person in there, verbally controlling. And I also think there's also passive-aggressive control. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that can be very challenging. And so what do you do? And I feel for these folks that let me back it up. I just went through something with a client this weekend. And she goes, he has off all week. He told me he was on vacation, and he's on vacation, and he's still not calling me. Now she's married, getting in the process of a divorce, right? This is her lover, and he's married in the
mm-hmm.
process of divorce, and he says, I'm on vacation, and she's upset. I'm not going to talk to him again because he's not talking to me. He's not calling me. And what is he doing?
Her.
Who is he out with? What'd you say? That's pretty good.
I said, good for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk,
don't say we
not
say,
talk to
her. Say,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
not talk to him, not yeah, and all that. What do you do? I mean, how do you handle that? I mean, I've been there myself, and where he's not called, and I have guys. You know, she's not doing certain things. He's not doing certain things. And I'm doing everything that you said, Tari, or I'm doing everything that the book said. I'm listening to the shows, and I'm doing it all. And
mm-hmm.
I still have mm-hmm. all these control issues, and they don't say that, but I'm like, yeah, how's that working for you? But
right.
what do you do? How do you help someone with that? Or how do you help them see the light of day? Or maybe I need to see the light of day, and you need to see the light of day. Who knows? But what do you feel? What's your thoughts on that, Tari?
When they're not listening, when they're not doing what you want, you know, that's basically what they're saying. He or she is not doing what I want them to do. So they're obviously the ones with the control issue, you know, of you know, wanting to control that person. But if the person is not calling or talking to him or whatever, you know, maybe that person doesn't want to be controlled. Maybe that person is out with somebody else, you know.
Right.
So
and what do you do?
Maybe this is a better partner. Mm-hmm. They
yeah,
call you.
What do you do?
They call you and they, what would I do with being the person who is mad because they're not calling?
Yeah.
I would kind of do what that woman just said, and I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I would just say, okay, good riddance. I'll look for somebody else. Isn't that bad?
No, it's not
you
bad
know,
at all.
If somebody, well, if someone's
Go
interested
ahead.
In you, they're going to call you. Yeah. I mean, if a man's interested in a woman, he will call her. he will find a way to get a hold of her, even if he's on vacation, you know. So if he thinks, oh, I'm on vacation, that means I don't have to touch base with you for the next 2 weeks, you know. There's something wrong there. He's just not that into her. It's like that movie. He's just not that into you. You know, if a man's into a woman, he will call her. And unless he can't be out in the wilderness and he doesn't have cell phone reception. I mean, you know, there's extenuating circumstances that would keep that. But if he feels
right.
like she's trying to control him, that may be why he's not calling her. He may be pulling away from that. So I don't know the woman, but I'm just saying, if he considers vacation a reason not to talk to his lover, and I, you know, obviously he's taking vacation from the relationship.
Yeah, or maybe he's not even involved in the relationship, okay? Or maybe he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to throw three things out there about it, okay? And here's the three things I'm going to throw out or put out there, because I see this. And I feel for people that are in this kind of relationship, that the relationship's over or it's just starting, and your guy, your girl, is not calling you, okay? Or they're not responding. I've really had a relationship
mm-hmm.
that ended a few weeks ago, actually, right? And I just, you know, I wanted to be friends, and I didn't want to have to answer to anybody, and but that was my deal, and I really wasn't into him, okay? So I think it could be
mm-hmm.
that you're not that into him. I also can think that there is a lot of passive-aggressive behavior where people say, I'm not going to call him, I'm not going to call her, I'm not going to answer that call because I want to see how much they'll stretch for me. I want to see what it they'll
right.
do. And that's a problem right there, or not a problem. And you discuss it in your book, in the Facebook, the biggest passive-aggressive tool out there. I can't remember. How do you,
mm-hmm.
what's the name of that book? Because I think it's as funny as all get out.
It's
but it goes
called
into the
Facebook. The greatest passive-aggressive weapon ever. Yeah, I do talk about that. And you're absolutely right. People won't respond just to see what the other person will do, just to see how far they're going to stretch, just to see how many times they'll call or try to get a hold of them, and then they'll make up some lame-ass excuse about why they couldn't get to the phone. But, you know, that's so childish. That's so, you know, maybe when you're first dating, there's those games people play where it's like, oh, is it too soon to call? And, you know, if the man actually calls, then the woman's asked, going, oh, is it too soon to answer? I don't want to look desperate. I mean, people go through all this, you know, self-conscious feelings of I don't want to look desperate. I don't want to look too interested, you know. But it's, you know, when you've been dating someone for a while or you've been sleeping with them, then I think you should be past the point of the games of how far is he or she going to stretch to be with me. But that you're right. That's exactly what they do. And, you know, I know something that somebody said to me a long time ago, and I always think of that. It's like the person you love is the person who's called you always answer. And that's so true. You know, I mean, if there's any way possible to answer that phone, you will when you're in love with somebody. And if you're letting it go to voicemail just to see, you know, just to make yourself not feel desperate or whatever, then you've got a problem yourself and you're not really in love with them. So I have my issues with people who do that.
I know, and I get you. But I'm going to put it out there. Marianne Williamson has a set of CDs on Audible. You can download it, listen to it in your stereo. And she makes a good point because she studies A Course in Miracles, teaches it, and has been a student for many years. And this one really, really helped me. And so these people, your potential mate, your ex, or however they are, you know, who they are to you, and they're not responding to you like you want them to respond, and you feel like you're doing all the work here, then, you know, you need to look at yourself, right, and say, okay, what's the deal? Mm-hmm. And she says, when you're looking to that person to fulfill your desires, okay, to fulfill your need, and they're not answering you, they're not respecting you, they're not doing what you want them to do, is that a relationship of love or is it need? And she
right.
and she makes a point of that. I think it's need. So, you know, myself, I'm terrible when I don't want to deal with something. I just usually just let it go. And I'm trying not to do that anymore based on some things you and I talked about and, you know, I've worked on within myself. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not into that guy or you're not into that girl, and they're not responding to your phone calls, they're not responding to your emails, and you're looking for a response, and you're not getting it, and you're looking at them and saying, hey, I'm pissed at you. You need to call me back. Or you, or Tari, you said he was or she was. Or, you know, Donna or Di, because I know we all are, you know, for example, a few angel coaches that we have here, and they're not doing the deal. Mm-hmm. Then you got to look at yourself and say, okay, how many times has this happened to me? And how many relationships, not only personal, maybe business, maybe both, okay, maybe friendships, mm-hmm. maybe lovers, maybe mates. Because I'm going to tell you this, and this is something I'm super firm about. You know, I talk to you, the exes that you guys, whoever, a lot of you guys leave behind, or I talk to the ones that are that have just gotten, you know, who are wanting to work it out again. I talk to these people, and the one thing that I do see, and I'm being saying that a little facetious, that you guys, you're looking for that person to build you up and to be there again because you've waited, you've done all this work on yourself, and they're still not here. But I'm going to promise you this, that piece of you that always attracts this kind of relationship, okay, is still there. I told this to someone the other day. I said, listen, I said, here is the deal. I go, you are, and I'm taking it from a spiritual vantage point where you're doing it in a daily walk kind of thing. But if that person you're attracting or want back in your life is not coming, then you need to look at yourself. Okay, and what piece of you is needing that person? Because when you need, that means you lack. Okay, and when you need, that means that you're manipulating and you're controlling and you're pushing a situation. And I've been in that kind of relationship, and I'm going to tell you, it sucks to be there, because you know that person, he's sending you roses, she's sending you flowers, she's sending you texts, he or she is sending you all these things. Would they be doing that 90 days from now? Did they do that before? And this is something that I think is super important to look at. I am, okay, and I'm sure you are, and a lot of you guys that are listening to the show tonight or will download it later, want a guy or a girl that's going to be the same today as he is 90 days from now. I have a friend of mine that breaks up with his girl, he says, if she lasts 91 days, she's a woman for me. So he's like on his third 90-day plan. Third girl. You know he's a character.
The three-month
plan.
Love him.
Huh? Yes, exactly. I like that. I have another one's a three-year plan. But you guys, if they're not responding like you want them to respond, then you really have to look at you and quit reaching out, reach in. Because I'm going to promise you that control issue, that piece that is attracting that kind of relationship is within you, okay? And they're just mirroring something that needs to be healed. And I feel for these people because I've been the people that has been dumped and I've been the one that has dumped, right? All of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that now I look at, if I get out of a relationship now, it's usually because I think it's not an honest relationship. I think there's a lot of issues there about control. If somebody's sending me tulips, because I love tulips, I'm not a big rose fan, right? So if you're hot and sexy and single, call me. I love tulips. I'm just kidding. But
they're unscented. But, is that why you like them?
Yeah, I do. And they're just beautiful.
They don't have a smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
exactly. But you know, if I see that the person that I'm going to be with is not going to, if he's like putting on these airs, are trying to woo me and court me, and this is not who he is on a daily walk, I don't want to be with him. I mean, and you know, do you want to be with him, or do you guys want to be with a woman that's not the real thing? I mean, your woman, she looks and smells good all the time, right? And she looks amazing, you know, and she says the right things to you. Oh, it's okay that you don't call me. It's okay to go out with your friends. Would she be like that 90 days from now? You know what I mean? Right? Come on, let's think about it.
Right.
You know, so you got to look at that. Yeah.
No,
you know, and
you're
that's
right.
A
we
big
need to be
thing.
Bitches up front. We just need to be bitches
right.
up front so they understand. That's what you're going to have 90 days from now.
91 days. Well, I really like your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then you get, then 6 months, 6 years, 60 years down the road, you're very angry because that woman or that man that you've been with didn't show up like you thought he was going to show up, right?
Right.
And or she's not showing up like you thought she was going to show up. But I'm going to promise you guys one thing. They have shown you that in the first 30, 60 seconds of that relationship, the first 5 minutes. You can find it and you can see that. And, you know, and how do you know, and how can you avoid this whole situation? One of the things I always do is like, okay,
what happened in your past relationship, and they'll inevitably tell you what a victim they are, right? Well, she left left me broke, left me this. I'm like,
I did everything right.
I'm like,
I did everything right. It was them. They mistreated me.
They mistreated me. I have the Messiah complex. I've got all the answers now, right? Bullshit. So, you know, one thing that you can do is look at and see how that, and how does that react with you? Because when someone says, I'm a victim here, and my wife or my, because I, you know, I'm attracted to men, my wife did this, this, and this to me, and my mom is this, and I didn't have a dad, or I didn't have a mom, and, you know, woe is me, then I know that's probably the best person for me, and now I'm going to have them for lunch, and not in a good way. You guys know what I'm talking about, you know, I'll just, like, be done with them. You know, I have a client. I told her, I said, listen, and you know, one of the things a lot of times that people aren't coming to you like you want them to, and I know you've experienced this because you've done a lot of coaching. You yourself wrote a few books, and but if they're not coming to you right now, then you need to say to yourself, I'm pissed because they're not here, and I've done all this stuff for them. Well, if they weren't there, would you go do that stuff for yourself? Okay, but you're doing it for yourself, and you're doing it for them. It's not real. It's not real. It's fake. It's not authentic.
It's ego. It's dressing. It's window dressing. Right. It's like they're putting on a show, a masquerade for this other person, instead of saying, I want to work on myself for me. I want to love myself, and then maybe somebody will walk in the door. And that's what people partner, but that's just coming, you know, like you always say, it's coming from lack instead of coming from love, because it's feeling inadequate by yourself. It's feeling like I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough unless I have somebody in my life, you know, romantically, and that's just not that it, and you're not going to get that person until you feel whole and complete unto yourself. So you definitely have to work on you first, you know. But these are like people are calling you who obviously have somebody, they've met somebody, and now they're mad because the somebody isn't behaving the way they want them to. And so
bad person,
you know, that's
you know.
Right, that bad man or woman, whichever she is, you know. But that's, yeah, the people, if you're getting that when you're talking to that person, that client, that they're just a kind of a control freak, you know. Just imagine what their partner is getting, and that's why they're pulling away.
Right.
I mean, but there are some people, and John and I were just talking about that before the call, because like I said, we're talking about control, and he had met a man who is, he said, probably one of the most controlling people he'd ever been around, and his wife wasn't like that at all. But, you know, I was saying to him, but she probably has a control issue, because very rarely do you see two people stay together when one of them is that much of a control freak, when the other one doesn't really have an issue with control. But I'll lay you odds that she deals with it passive-aggressively. And,
you know,
I have family members like that where the woman is a nut control freak, and the man is basically pays her lip service, but he'll do whatever he damn well pleases, you know, and which is very passive aggressive. This is my father that I'm talking about, actually, but he's gonna, you know, she will never control him as controlling, you know, as much as she wants to control every detail of their home, of their life, whatever. She will never, ever be able to control him. But that's how he deals with it. He lets her, but he's going to walk out the door and do whatever he wants. And so I would guess that this person that John met, that's probably kind of the same situation. You know, she may not do, you know, exactly what my dad would do, but I'm sure she has her way of bucking the system, you know. Or if she,
that's right.
If she didn't have an issue with control, she would probably never be attracted to that man. You know, somebody like me would never be attracted to a man like that, because I really don't have control issues, and I wouldn't want somebody in my life that did. You know, that would just, it would be a huge turnoff for me. So she's got to have some kind of an issue with control herself, but she deals with it differently. It shows up in her a different way than it does in him. Because I have some cousins like that where he is just kind of overbearing. The husband is overbearing and loud, and he can be funny, you know, and he's, you know, very jovial, but he is just a control freak too. And I see with his wife, she's very passive. She's very passive, and I think she kind of feeds her need for somebody to take control.
I agree with you on that 100+%. And one of the things that you guys who are listening now, and Di, you and I've talked to this about this numerous occasions, and I'm going to go back to this because I'm being led to share this with you. If you're like telling your potential spouse, you're telling your coach, you whoever you talk to, that I would like to take long walks on the beach or in the mountains, because I know you live on the mountains and I live on the beach, and have a couple of massage and all this kind of stuff. And when I get with him or get with her, and you're not doing that for yourself now, do you understand? But you can start doing it when he or she mm-hmm. comes into your life. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't work like that. You do it for yourself first, because that's a lot of self-love there, and you got to love yourself. And then you do it, you add that person into which is already a practice for you. You know, it's kind of like the person says, well, the next woman or the next man that I attract, I'm going to make sure I really love them. I don't really love this one, but I'm getting out of this relationship someday. But if you don't take care of the relationship you already have with yourself and then with your potential mate or your mate that you're dating right now, and you say, well, I'm going to do it better next time, you better do it the best now. It's like buying a new car. When you take care of your current car and then you take care of your, you know, then you're going to be able to take care of your new car. But it's not something that you decide to do because it's brand new. It's something that, you know, you do because that's who you are, not what you pretend to be or would like to be. I mean that, you know, mm-hmm. and I see that, man, I see that so many relationships. I'm going to do it like this. I've told him I love him. I've told her I love her, and she's still not responding. Well, probably the reason why she's not responding is because if you're not being authentic and you're not being real about it, then they're going, on some level we all feel it, because we have those great antennas that God has given us all, or that higher part of us it has given to us all, that we tune in even though we're not aware of exactly sometimes what we're tuning into. You know what I mean? And how do you correct that? You look at your life and you go, okay, how do I treat myself on a daily basis? How do I talk to myself when I do something wrong? And when you get your self-talk in the broadcast that you're broadcasting out to other people, and you're trying to change that, do you understand? You have to change it within yourself before you can attract that girl or that guy. So key there. And one of the other things is if it's not happening right now, my client, she's also becoming a friend of mine, she says, you know what, Tari, I went through this week because I know that it wasn't supposed to happen. I needed to see who he is. I needed to see myself if I could go through with this divorce, even if it meant that he wasn't going to be here. And I got a grip on my business, my new business, and what I needed to do. And if he'd have been here and I would have been focused on him, I wouldn't have done it. So if there's a reason why he or she is not responding to you like you'd like them to, I promise you there's divine and perfect timing, and it's just not the right time yet. And there's something within you, within me, within you, Di, within us all, that we need to look at and develop, instead of saying, why isn't he calling? What is it? And then maybe the question should be, what is it that I need to work on within myself, you know, to get this mm-hmm. to happen? You know, and that's hard to look at. That's hard. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't even feel good to do. Right? Well, that's still not going to change that he's not calling or she's not here, right? But when you fix that piece, do you understand? Then you get better reception, right? You know, within yourself and attracting that mate. So that's something that I totally agree and know. In our book, we have two chapters, actually, what women want and what men want. And, you know, and if your man, what he needs is he needs you to understand him. You know what I mean? And quit and understanding from day one, understanding at day a million. Okay, and if you can't do that because of whatever reason, and you know, and you're wanting to change him, you can't change him. You're gonna have to let him go. And guys, the same way with her. You know, if you want that woman and you think, well, I'm gonna have Mrs. Right for now, that's okay. All right, but you let her know she's not the one and see if she, you know what I mean, and
you think she'd really hang around for that?
Well, you're
just Mrs. Right for now. You think the woman really hangs?
Well, maybe she's telling him he's Mr. Right for now. You know, I you got to be careful with that. I tell every guy that I go out with, I go, it'll be a year before I really take this relationship seriously, sense of marrying you or being with you forever, because I want to make sure I can be your friend first, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's how you say it, not what you say, but how you say what you say. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he's Mr. Right for now. I'm just saying, hey, you know, and you did the same thing with John, right? You came home, You mm-hmm. tore that relationship apart. That's what you do. And you do about it. You did. Okay. And then figured out what questions you would ask him on the next interview. On the next interview.
You mean I overanalyze? Is that what you're saying?
You think? Oh, yeah.
You think?
Yeah, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I like John.
Yeah.
John is like, he's all Mr. Easygoing, you know. He's like, he doesn't overanalyze. Does she look good?
He doesn't overanalyze.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
He goes, does she look good? How does she look in a pair of pants or shorts or whatever? It's all good. Anyway,
right.
I know he's
that's
he's,
good.
Yeah. Men are a little bit easier than that way. But, you know, you and I are talking about some things that are so important right now, you guys. And if it's not working for you and they're not coming forward and they're putting you off, there's usually a control issue within them and within yourself and within them too as well. Because if you're trying to change them to so that they can be what you want for them to be in your life, doesn't work like that. So sorry. And I know you think that they'll be much happier with you than without you. But sometimes they're not seeing it yet. Okay.
No, they haven't figured that out yet. They'll be so much better with me. They don't understand. I'm so much happier with me. I'll tell them everything they need to do.
Yeah. And let them have some
let
free
me control
time.
Your life. You'll be so much happier. Right.
Yes, exactly. When you get solitary confinement, that will be your free time. Okay. Now you're not allowed to go out.
Yes.
Okay. You're not allowed to have friends.
But you know,
and you're not
now how do you
allowed
tell,
to spend money.
How do you tell? A person who really does have control issues, how do you even make them see that they have control issues? Because I know two people I know who are very, very controlling. They would never believe themselves to be controlling. They just think that, well, I'm right. You know, I'm right. They should, you know, I mean, that's the bottom line. It would be, you know, it's like my wife shouldn't have a say-so because I'm right. I know more than she does, you know. So how do you even get a person, like that to understand that they're controlling? Or do they
well,
even care?
Usually,
probably not.
Yeah, well, a lot of times they'll do it. It takes some time. But this has been my experience when working mm-hmm. with people, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. When the conversation, you know, I'm a complicated man, right? Okay.
I'm a complicated
you know?
Man.
Yes, I'm a complicated woman.
I'm
going right? to
use that.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah, then I go, okay, now they're realizing that there's some control issues there. And complicated, mm-hmm. you know, because most of us want the six needs that we have, what, roof overhead, money in the bank, security, love,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what they all are. But when they start, when they go, I realize I'm a complicated man or I realize I'm a complicated woman, you know, then I see that maybe there's something to this control stuff that I need to look at. Or when you can see them. Yeah, and talk to them and ask them how many times has this happened in their life, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's not the first time this feeling has been there. I can promise you that, especially if you're over 18, you've had this feeling before. And,
right.
and when we look at it from that perspective, then you know, I'll start with how long have you been angry about this, you know? And when they start mm-hmm. telling me, oh, I've resolved all that anger, really? Well, I still see you're angry. I still see you're mad
right.
and you're wanting to
right.
control
right
your person. Yeah, yeah
uh-huh.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you go through the times that they felt that emotion. And it takes time. It really does. And sometimes they don't want to do it. And that's okay, too. You know, so it's all about planting seeds. And that's what I do or you do or some of the other guys that are talking or working with people, with your friends or your coaches yourself or psychics yourself. You know that's you know, sometimes it's just about planting a seed, you know what I mean? I think the passive-aggressive
mm-hmm.
person sometimes is easier than sometimes he's blowing mad, all right? And why is a passive-aggressive person? Because that passive person that's listening sometimes can get it and work on changing. And changes happen. It's like running. How do you start to run? One step at a time. The control issues,
mm-hmm.
how do you change it? One step at a time. And just recognizing it, and you do that by saying, hey, I don't ever talk about control first. I talk about anger, because usually the control is got a layer of anger that's super deep.
Definitely
and,
anger-based. You're absolutely right. Control is all about anger. And the passive aggression, that kind of control, it doesn't come across as angry like some you know, overtly controlling people are. But it is anger. Passive aggressive behavior is caused from anger. It's anger that they don't want to show you. And so they're going to passive aggressively show you that they're going to control the situation through that, even if it's by not talking, you know. You know, people think, well, you can't accuse me of starting a fight. I didn't even talk. Well, that's the whole point. You wouldn't even talk, you know. Oh, it's definitely from anger, you know, definitely from anger. And the overtly controlling people, you can see the anger. You can see the anger more on the surface because they're going to get angry if you don't do what they want you to do. But the passive-aggressive person, they show their anger by silence or stonewalling or you know, paying you lip service that they're going to do one thing, but then they do something different. So, but it's still anger. It's still a root cause of anger from something else. And that's the whole problem with the relationship is you're bringing in anger from something else, you know, from a previous partner, from your parents, from whatever. You're angry about something else a lot of times, so you're taking it out on the person that you're with. So that's something that people need to look at too. You know, like you always say, where have you had this feeling before? Is that the same feeling? Is it really this person that elicited that feeling, or is it another person that really hurt you or made you angry or whatever, and now this person reminds you of that for some reason and bringing it up and kind of rehashing it. So that's always fun. But, yeah, anger is the root cause of a lot of evil.
It really is. And the one thing that I do know is, and this is something that I recognize, we think that those guys or those girls that we'd like to have in our lives are having our lives right now and we want something different or we want to change the relationship. Relationships are great for experiencing great love. But I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest things that they're bought into our lives for is to show us what we need to look at within ourselves. You know what I mean? And realize that it's not so much about getting married or being in love, feeling our own self. And that's the honest to God's truth. And Marianne Williamson talks about it. You know, there's Louise Hay's written books about it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it's true because I can be by myself and be totally happy. And sometimes I'm not, right? But get me in a relationship with a man and he starts his stuff, I'm like, I'm out of here. You know, and I used to be extremely passive aggressive about it. But you helped me with that in the sense of saying, you know what, I don't need to not just walk away without saying too much except the email. I'm going to talk to him about it. You know what I mean? And and it's freeing when you do that, and you free yourself, and so you're not angry when you go into the next relationship. And I did that pretty recently. It was such a great feeling, and I want to share this with you. You know, Di is the one that dreamed about her guy before she met him, about 8 months before she met him, maybe a year. I don't even know now, but I remember you said you dreamed about him. So I've had several dreams about a guy, okay, from his right under his waist up to his neck, and I can feel his skin under my fingertips, and I can't see his face, okay? So, but he doesn't have a lot of hair, so I'm grateful for, okay, do you understand? And he looks like he's Asian, or maybe he's Latin, but Latins usually have a lot of hair. So he's Asian, or because I'm talking about it. And he's that Asian and Caucasian, and I was sitting there going, huh, because I let that old past go, you know, with somebody who was really bossy, that's what we called them.
Then I'm
in line to meet another guy who I think that is someone that I'm supposed to be with for a while, you know, forever. For me, about 2 years. That's all good.
Right, forever. You know, yeah.
2 years, maybe three. Okay.
6 months is forever, right, Tari?
Yeah, exactly. But thank you. But, you know, I was able to really look at something within myself because I attracted very bossy men in my life that did it, like, after they manipulating, and they did it passive-aggressive, and when I could say, hey, that's not right, and for me to be around anyone, be how you want to be, then I was able to attract a better version of a guy for me, you know what I mean? And so that's a good thing.
Right.
And, I learned that about myself. Anyway, you guys, I don't know if anybody had any questions, and I'm so sorry because we've had issues with the studio. But I appreciate everybody listening in. And, Di, you've given some wonderful ideas, you know what I mean? Control, anger, loving yourself, and not putting on airs for someone because 90 days from now, the 91st day, usually those errors are gone, mm-hmm. and what you got is what you got. Okay,
right,
so.
Right.
Where's the tulips, right? Or, you know, right. Hearts and flowers. And mm-hmm. and did they do hearts and flowers? So what do you ask in the next relationship that you're in? What was your old relationship about? Or you don't have to say it like that. But see on his third anniversary or her third anniversary what she did for her person, you know, her boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband or wife. It gives you an idea what you're dealing mm-hmm. with, you know what I mean? And are they cheap?
Right.
You know, because you don't like cheap men. So,
no, I can't. I never could do cheap. I don't do cheap. Can't do cheap.
How do you figure that out, though, from the day what, first time? I mean, you know what I mean?
The day one. Issues. Oh, my gosh. There's always a little red flag, especially when you're meeting somebody for the first time. If you're, you know, buying coffee or anything like that, right away you see, you know, if there's a hesitation for pick up the check. You know, I remember the one I had to drive like I don't know an hour to meet, and he drove 5 minutes. So I used, you know, $20 worth of gas, and he couldn't even buy me a 95-cent cup of coffee, and I was just like done, you know. Not going to see you again. So, yeah, I can't do cheap. I just can't.
Yeah, so that's your
But you,
then,
you see
and,
that. You'll
yeah,
see it.
Yeah.
Anything like that, you see it right away. You see it right away. And if you don't adhere to those warning signs, whatever it is, you know, it may be possessiveness or jealous people or whatever it is that you just can't deal with, you know. You always see it. You always see the sign of that right when you meet them. And you can either stay with it. It's going to bug you for the rest of your life, forever, for 6 months, or you can just keep on looking, you know, instead of going forward with that relationship. You know, and I'm sure there's stuff about me that I'm sure men can't stand, and you know, upon meeting me, if they saw that right away, I appreciate it if they didn't ask me that again. But I can't do cheap. Cheap is not cool. How many women
yeah,
can really
guy,
do cheap?
Yeah,
guys,
the only thing I've ever heard about you is probably me and me saying it the loudest is you are a steward. I'm a steward, too. Hey, we've got somebody who's got a question, so they just said, studio, just popped on the steward style for their steward that thing and came up with their own
right.
conclusion. Anyway,
right,
hey,
right.
It's three and I. Who's on? Hello? Okay. Did you?
Hello?
Hello? Weird enough, they didn't want to talk to us. Okay, no problem.
I didn't
want to talk to us. They're no fun. Anyway, so each of us has our own stuff that we deal with. You know, mine is bossy. Yours is cheap. Yours also, you know, so you got to figure out what your stuff is and how many relationships have you attracted to in that respect, like with friends or, you know, with lovers and mates. You'll see a pattern there, and the only constant is you. It's all good. That's it.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Anyway, you can do what you usually do, or maybe say, "Hey, I need to heal this, so it won't bother me anymore," and that's a good thing. All right, everybody. We will see you on. It is Sunday now. We'll see you on Tuesday. It's all about manifesting techniques and the angels that work with you. And we've got some new guests on next weekend or next Thursday night, which I'm super excited about. And because it's Transformation Thursday, people chasing their passion, living their passion, and making money and making a great living. All right, Di, thank you. You're amazing, and I love doing the show with you. So we've got our book out, and we take all this stuff from our book. And the book is You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me, and you can get it on our site at angelcoaches.org. Or you can go to Amazon.com and Google my name, Cherie Abbott, or Diabucci, B-U-C-C-I, Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, and then you can find it like that. I would recommend you guys get it because it's got some great stuff in there to help you heal, to help you attract the man or woman of your dreams. All right, everybody, have a great night, and we will talk to you next week. Take care, Di. I'll talk to you later. Tell Josh thank you. He gave us some great stuff.
Well, Bella, thank you for your
yeah.
insight, John.
John, y'all have
thanks,
kitty Sheree. Power. Sorry, bye.
Bye.